In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, the Catholic liturgy is colorful. And today, in this fourth Sunday of Lent, it is the halfway point in the 40 days of Lent. This day, the liturgical color is rose. Rose, which is a bright violet, in order to present a sense of joy at having reached the middle of Lent, which is a time of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Today's Gospel announces that Jesus is the bread of life. And we rejoice because we know Easter will soon be here. Today's Gospel reading consists on the first 15 verses of the 6th chapter of St. John's Gospel. Dear friends, I sincerely believe that all of us, every Catholic, ought to read this chapter in its entirety once every year. And today would seem like a good day to do it. Why is this chapter 6 of St. John so important, you may ask? It's important because the second part of the chapter reports how our Lord clearly promising to give us his body and blood in Holy Communion. While the first part, the part we just read, gives us some assurance of his ability to work such a miracle. There are many people, even Catholics, who refuse to believe in the real presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. But no one can make a honest reading of this chapter without acknowledging that Jesus promised his presence in the sacrament at this event, roughly a year before the Last Supper. To be sure, there were people doubting who heard Jesus speak, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" But guess what? Jesus was inflexible. "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall not have life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood will have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day." St. John records that after this, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. The daughters, who did not know the divine power of Jesus Christ, simply abandoned him. They went back. Dear friends, it's significant to note that Jesus did not call any of the daughters back. He let them doubting, because faith is a gift from God. And God doesn't want to force, to enforce any of us to believe in him. If you don't believe what I said, go away. Jesus did not make any attempt to downplay his words. He did not call after them saying that the Eucharist would be a mere symbol or token. He just let them go on their way. He did not try to soften his message, his meaning, because Jesus meant just what he said. 1 year later, at the Last Supper, he took the unleavened bread of the Passover and gave it to his apostles, saying, "This is my body." And then he took the cup of wine and gave that to his apostles, saying, "This is a chalice of my blood." This is recorded in the first three Gospels, St. Matthew, St. Mark, and St. Luke, as well as in St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. In none of these accounts is there the slightest hint that Jesus was speaking about anything other than his actual body and blood. So, miracle of the loaves and fishes foreshadows Holy Thursday, when Jesus will institute the Mass and the Blessed Sacrament of his real presence under the appearances of bread and wine. Dear friends, this is what happens during the holy sacrifice of the Mass. The Mass is the heart and soul of Catholicism. Without the Mass, there is no Catholic Church. That's why I would suggest that during Lent, we all make an effort to pray for religious vocations. God continues to call men to follow him and to become priests. But we have to pray more. We have the priests we deserve. So, first of all, let us pray more for religious vocations. Secondly, let us teach the love of priesthood and the love of the Church. Is it not surprising that the greatest detractors of the Catholic Church might be in? Is it not amazing to see so many good people talking poorly about the Catholic Church? The crisis in the Church is first of all a crisis of saints. And if you look at our history, there is one remedy against times of confusion: prayer and penance. There is no plan B. There is no other option. So yes, there is a crisis in the Church. Yes, there is a great confusion in the leadership of the Church. But we don't have to stop to love the Catholic Church. People are surprised when their children leave the Church. People are crying when their own children lose their faith. But don't be surprised. And I would say, don't be hypocrite. Because if you have never been able to talk well about the priesthood, if you have never been able to talk well about the authority, don't be surprised if revolution comes in your house. You know, children that don't invent anything, they will, for most of them, they will do what they saw you to do. If you have been always critical, and if you have forgotten your duties, don't be surprised. If you don't know why, I promise you that God knows. So, for this Lent, prayer, humility, and let us focus on our duties. We believe in a God who will punish the bad and who will reward the good. So, let's focus on doing good. And he will take care of those who betrayed. He will take care of those who offended his blessed sacrament. But I think the most important for us is to never be one of them. So please, let us teach the love of the Catholic priesthood to your children. Teach the love of the Catholic Church. You know, this is a wonderful time to be priest. When you are priest, you give literally Jesus to people. So please pray for priests, pray for holy priests, and pray for many holy priests. But we have to do our part. We don't have to deny that there is evil in the world and in the church, but we don't have to let him crush us and to take away our hope, because Jesus promised until the end of the time there will be priests to offer the sacrifice of the Mass. Without Mass, the world would collapse immediately. So, please, dear friends, let us pray during Lent for religious vocations, for good religious vocations, for many good religious vocations. Otherwise, I can predict that you will die with the faith of Martin Luther. Because what he saw in Rome was true. What he saw in Rome was true. There were scandals. But just, he didn't have the good reaction. Because facing evil, we don't have to revolt. We have to pray and make penance. Prayer and penance. It's not from me, it's from Our Lady each time she deigned to appear on earth. Dear friends, without Mass, there is no Catholic Church. It is the reason why our churches are built in such a way that the main focus is on the altar where the Mass is celebrated. The Mass is a sacrifice in the sense that it represents or presents again in an unbloody or sacramental way the unique sacrifice of Jesus on Calvary. There is only one sacrifice, that of Jesus, and its efficiency is infinite because he's God Almighty in the flesh. Primarily, the Mass gives glory to God, and secondarily, the Mass gives Christ to men through communion, which is the bread of life, Jesus himself. So the manna in the desert of the Old Testament and the multiplication of the loaves by Jesus find their fulfillment in the Holy Eucharist. During this period of Lent, we should visit the Blessed Sacrament more often. He's always here in the tabernacle for us. We can also make what is called a spiritual communion by desiring to receive him if it was possible. Jesus said that those who receive this divine food have eternal life. And those are truly words of hope. Finally, dear friends, on Lateri Sunday, because we have hope in Jesus, because we know where we go, because we know that Jesus will have the last say, we rejoice. We have been freed by sin. We have been freed from sin by Christ, and we are moving with Jesus towards eternal life. From now, we can see our existence with joy. From that night of Holy Thursday, the Last Supper, until the end of time, in offering the holy sacrifice of the Mass, Catholics stand with Jesus at his cross, even though thousands of miles and thousands of years may intervene. It is at the foot of the cross that our journey begins. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ invites us to journey to that Jerusalem on high, where we will see his Father and our Father face to face. And it is this bread from heaven, the Holy Blessed Sacrament, the Eucharist, that is our food for the way. There is no another option. Today we start the Mass with the opening prayer, "Rejoice, O Jerusalem, and come together, all you who love her. Rejoice with joy, you who were in sadness, that you may exult and be filled from her consoling breast." That command to rejoice, and the reason for it, constitute an important promise of hope for us as we continue our Lenten journey in the state of a desert and our lifetime exile in this valley of tears. God has never promised that it would be a piece of cake to be Catholic, but he promised that we will be rewarded. God wants us to know the end of the journey. He wants us to grasp that he is with us to strengthen and console us. Even those of us who are mourning, even those of us who are sad over problems in the world, in the church, or without or within themselves, God wants us to know that he desires to console us like a loving mother and embolden us like a strong father. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen.